CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
There's a major football game that goes down tomorrow afternoon from Pasadena. The Ohio State Buckeyes and the Oregon Ducks battling in the granddaddy of them all in the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. We were just talking during the break, like, Oregon got screwed here, right?
Yeah.
Their first game in the playoff, they're 13-0, and they have to play Ohio State. Like, here's your grand prize for going 13-0 and being the only undefeated team. But it is exciting for us because we get to talk about it, and it is a massive game. In many ways, I've kind of said this feels like a game that will decide at least who goes to the championship out of this region. And here to talk about it and break it down with us from the Ohio State Buckeyes on SI, our good friend, our colleague, Brendan Gulick. Brendan, what's going on, my man? Happy almost New Year to you.
What's going on, Brendan?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Happy New Year. And I'll tell you what, the day before an Ohio State Rose Bowl game is always pretty fun because, at least for me, man, that's my favorite venue in sports. It's probably my favorite game in all of sports, which might be a little bit of a bold thing to say. There's obviously bigger games and bigger venues, but there's just something about the Rose Bowl that like tugs at my heart, man. It's going to be a special day, and it should be a whale of a game.
We obviously know these two teams played early in the season, Brendan. I'm jealous you get to go see this iteration, this rematch live in person, because that's a bucket list item, a bucket list game for me. What do you think is going to make, because both these teams are different from when they played in, what was it, week 7 at the time. What makes this time around is going to make the game different, you think, between these two teams?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, because the first thing everybody says is exactly what you acknowledged. Hey, you know, it was so long ago and it was a great game, but things are different. You got different guys in some different spots. I mean, obviously the biggest difference for Ohio State, going back to that first game, they lost their left tackle, and that started the domino effect of some really frustrating moments in the second half of the season on the offensive line. The good news is Ohio State's offensive line against Tennessee looked as good as it has, you know, at any point all year. So I don't know that I think too much about, hey, what's going to be different this time around. You know, we've had whatever it is, 3.5 or 4 months now of, you know, I guess the full resumes to look at. And in my opinion, like, these are the best two teams in college football. They're the two most complete teams. They're the two most explosive teams. They are balanced. They're powerful. They got a lot of guys that can make really good plays. And, you know, you guys kind of alluded to it at the beginning of the segment. Like, in some ways, man, major bummer this is a national quarterfinal, because it feels like Oregon got the short end of the stick. And, yeah, and gosh, for Ohio State, the way this playoff has been set up, having to host Tennessee at home, play Oregon on a quarterfinal round, and potentially play Texas in Dallas, and if it works out, potentially play Georgia in Atlanta for a national championship game, or a red hot Notre Dame team. I mean, that is a brutal, brutal draw. So I think you just have to take the game for what it is. I expect that it's going to be really competitive. It's probably as simple as, like, who's going to turn the ball over. When they played last time, Ohio State turned it over twice, and Oregon didn't. And ultimately, it was just enough. If you're Oregon, I mean, you're kind of hoping that you can take care of the ball and limit Ohio State's explosives. Evan Stewart for Oregon had the best game of his career last time out. Can he do that again at wide receiver? But we'll see. But I think both quarterbacks are going to play well. Everybody remembers the first game for Will Howard, you know, sliding down as time expired. Will obviously made a bad play there at the end of the game, but he, you know, was otherwise, I thought he was really good. He was super efficient. He wasn't good enough to win the game, but I thought Will played a really good game. So I don't know that I look at this game and think, okay, something has to be way different than the last time around, because both teams certainly have what it takes to win.
So, Brendan, would you say that going into this game, you expect a similar game script, that it was basically a shootout last time? I mean, 32-31, Oregon took the win. That, or have these defenses essentially built up enough throughout the season to make this more competitive from the defensive side of things?
Yeah, I mean, I think both teams have their vulnerabilities, but they're both top 10 defenses. So, you know, we've seen enough good play from both sides. I mean, if I'm Oregon, my game plan all day, and I say this as respectfully as I can, my game plan all day is to throw at Davis and Igbinosin until he proves that he can make a play, because he personally leads the entire country in pass interference penalties. And Oregon's got a really good group of receivers, and I don't know what it is about, you know, IGB that he can't figure out a way to keep his hands off guys, but he's been problematic. Denzel Burke has been super hot and super cold during his whole college career. When he's been good, he's been really good. And he's had some moments where he's also really been poor. I think Jeremiah Smith's the best wide receiver in college football. And if you keep throwing number four of the football, you're going to find good things are going to happen to you on the other side. So, you know, I just sort of expect that both teams are going to try to play to their strengths. You know, Will is a very mobile quarterback, although he sits in the pocket a little bit more than Dylan Gabriel does. But both guys are super athletic and you know, can run a modern spread offense really well. I wouldn't be surprised at all if both teams are pushing 450 to 500 yards of offense. And I don't think that's a condemnation of both teams' ability to play defense. The defenses, in my opinion, in this game are going to be most important on certain situations. The stats at the end of the game are going to show that you're probably going to have two pretty good offensive teams, because that's what they've done all year. But did you come up with the right third down stop? Did you force a turnover in a specific, critical moment of the game? Like, that's where I anticipate that defense is going to play a big role in this.
Yeah, I obviously mentioned Davison and Bignosin and sort of the issues that he has. One of the most penalized, if not, I think, still the most penalized corner in all of college football. Tez Johnson, earlier on this week, mentioning the fact that they essentially know that. He said, range a corner from the SEC, but we know his weaknesses, so we're definitely going to be on high alert from that. Is that a mistake from Tez Johnson, calling him out and letting that be known ahead of time, or is that just sort of fair game? Everybody knows that's the weakness on this Ohio State team.
Yeah, I don't think he was necessarily like actively taking a shot at him. I'm sure he was probably asked, because these players were basically available to media. You know, just drop the players off in like a hotel ballroom downtown LA, and media free for all. Every kid's at a different table, so you can ask guys basically whatever question you want. And I'm sure somebody said, "Hey Tez, you're probably going to be guarded by Igbinosin. What do you think?" Like, I don't know that they were baiting him, but they're probably trying to get him to have some kind of a comment. And he didn't say, Davison stinks. And I don't think he stinks, but he's had some moments that have been pretty frustrating. So, yeah, I don't know. I saw that and I just sort of said, okay, well, I don't know exactly how the question was framed, but on the flip side of the coin, man, if I'm Oregon, like, that's the game plan. You make that guy play better, because we've got whatever it is, 13 games worth of him not playing great football. He's been okay, but he hasn't been elite. And I think Ohio State needs to have an answer for not just Tez, but like, this is a really good receiving core, and Dylan can make some things happen with his feet. So it's a tough task for him.
Brennan Gulick, Ohio State Buckeyes on SI, joining us here on the show. You talked about Will Howard in that first game. I too think that was probably, I think that probably was his best game of the regular season up until the Tennessee game last week. It does kind of feel like if he plays like he did against Tennessee, I don't know how you stop this offense. In your opinion, is he sort of the key to the Buckeyes going on a run of the national championship? Because there was moments where you were kind of questioning, I think, Will and how good he really was. You know, the Michigan game was obviously a low point for him. But if he plays like that, it feels like it like this Ohio State team meets the potential that they obviously had when the season started.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can certainly look at it that way. But for me, it's a little broader. It's not so much about Will as it is Ryan Day. Like, who comes out in this game, from Ryan Day? Is it the Ryan Day against Michigan who, like, got in his own head and just had this, what felt like this overwhelming sense of pride in trying to prove it, that we need to run the ball between the tackles to beat Michigan, so on and so forth? Like, it felt like there were moments in that game where Ohio State coached scared. Then you look at the Tennessee game, or you think back to the Georgia game a couple years ago, or you think back to the Clemson game and the Sugar Bowl from a few years back. Like, playoff Ryan Day historically has been a lot of fun for Ohio State fans. He comes out and throws haymakers. And I realize that he's not calling plays anymore, but when you're the head coach, man, you set the tone. And he is very involved in the offensive game plan all week. So I think Will Howard is – he's been in enough big moments this year where he's both struggled and tasted some success. I don't think he's going to be – you know, not ready for the moment. I don't think the spotlight's going to be a little too big for him or whatever. You know, this is what he came to Ohio State for. And yeah, does it ratchet up a little bit more when all the chips are on the table like this in the college football playoff? Sure. But, you know, Will said last spring, he basically had two options. He was going to declare for the NFL draft, or he was going to go play at Ohio State. And he wants to go be an NFL quarterback, and so you got to take moments like this and say, this is literally what I'm doing with my life. This is what I'm going to try to do. And I can't, you know, falter in moments like this just because it's a bigger stage. I mean, I'm going back and looking through, you know, some of his, some of his games throughout the course of the year. I mean, he was really efficient against Oregon, completed 80% of his passes. He played a really good game against Iowa, played a really good game against Indiana. I thought he played a pretty good game against Penn State. And, you know, he really had one clunker, and it was against Michigan. And then flushed it quickly, went out against Tennessee, and had the ability to stretch the field. I just thought Will played really, really good football on a huge stage last time out. So if Ryan Day approaches this game like – I'm just going to call it like playoff Ryan Day. If Ohio State plays against Oregon or anybody else like they did against Tennessee, I don't think they're going to lose. But it's easier said than done. Yeah. Oregon's really good.
Along those lines, since you talked a lot about Ryan Day there, I want to play this clip here real quick. This was Ian Rappaport talking yesterday about Mike Vrabel's time with the Browns coming to an end, and he had an interesting nugget here that was in relation to our topic here.
Mike Vrabel's consulting contract with the Cleveland Browns, that expired today. But the timing is significant here as well. Mike Vrabel has been linked to the Ohio State job, which is not open. Ryan Day is still the head coach at Ohio State. But they play on Wednesday if something really terrible happens and they decided to make a change. Wouldn't be surprised to see Ohio State take a look at Vrabel as well.
So, audio courtesy of the NFL Network, by the way. I found that interesting because I thought Ross Bjork sort of put any of these commentary on Ryan Day's job status to bed, but you hear Ian Rappaport mention something like that and it raises your eyebrows a little bit. So any reason to believe that Ryan Day is kind of coaching for his job tomorrow?
I feel like that's two different questions. Is Ryan Day coaching for his job tomorrow? I would say most likely not, for a few different reasons. It would be, even for a school like Ohio State with the resources they have, it would be insanely expensive for them to fire Ryan Day and pay the buyout for his staff and hire a new coach, considering that Ohio State knows they also are going to be starting this back pay for athletes over the last decade or so with some of this federal legislation starting to take some shape here. So from a financial perspective, I mean, anybody can get a donor to write a big check, but we're talking about a check that might be nine figures for all of that. I don't see that happening. I also think that Ryan Day takes a lot of heat, and if you're going to fire that guy, you better have a slam dunk better option. And I'm not totally convinced that there is unless Nick Saban doesn't want to, you know, be a TV analyst anymore, and we know that that's not the case. The Vrabel component to this is interesting because, like you, I continue to see that, you know, his name gets connected to this and floated all the time. The people that I've talked to have told me that Mike Vrabel has absolutely no interest whatsoever in coaching college football. So, I'm not saying the guy can't change his mind. I think Vrabel structured his contract with the Browns the way he did, knowing that in the NFL, head coaching jobs are going to be open, and he wanted to make sure that going into that last, like, Mike Vrabel's not going to make a difference on whether the Browns beat the Ravens or not. So, you know, use this time to start having the conversations. I'm sure he's probably had them already on what NFL head coaching vacancies are out there. I don't see Vrabel in Columbus. I'm not saying I wouldn't like it. I think it'd be great, but I don't see him there, and I don't personally think Ryan Day's coaching for his job this week.
Brandon, we got about 30 seconds left. Your prediction for this game, quarterfinal against Oregon, who do you got?
I got the Buckeyes, and I got them by 10. I think Ohio State's going to win this game in reasonably convincing fashion. I got a feeling it's going to be a great Rose Bowl game. But I really do think Ohio State is on a mission right now, and they've got the guys to get it done. I know it was a one-point game last time around, but I think Ohio State's going to be able to pull this one off slightly more comfortably this time around.
I hope that you're right. Brendan Gulick, at Brendan Gulick 22 on X, does a tremendous job covering Ohio State for the Ohio State Buckeyes on SI, and you can find all of the content for them over at the website. He'll be out there in Pasadena. I think you're leaving tomorrow morning, right? First thing in the morning?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, man. You have a kid now, you start thinking about life a little differently. So we'll stay at home for New Year's, have some fun tonight with the family, and then hop on a 7 a.m. flight tomorrow with the time difference, land in L.A. at like 9. And that's 5 hours before kick. I got plenty of time to get to Pasadena.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Love to see it. Love to see it. Well, hey, send me pictures. Enjoy the experience.
Oh, and, I will. In fact, I might send them to you like every hour. How's that sound?
I mean, don't rub it in. You don't have to go overboard, but you can send me some pictures, Brendan.
You just said you wanted pictures. Oh, I'll make sure you get plenty of them.
This guy's going to make me feel real bad about myself. No, Brendan, appreciate you, man. Thank you for stopping by, and safe travels.
Thanks, Brendan.
Happy New Year, guys.
You too.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.